Okay? So, Om Ganat Chivananda Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, I thought this evening, since we're in the middle of Navaratri, that we'd speak about Durga Devi. Is that all right? That's all right with everybody? Yeah. So we can understand who Durga Devi is. And I'm going to be quoting some verses from different scriptures, and also I'm going to be telling some stories to illustrate her position. So the first thing about Durga Devi is she's mentioned in the Brahma Samhita. In the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita, I'm going to read this particular verse. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sakti Eka Chaiva Yasha Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga Ichana Rupam Api Yasha Chasheshtase Sa Govindam Haripurusham Tamaham Prajanami. So this Brahma Samhita was spoken by Lord Brahma. Everybody knows who Lord Brahma is? Anybody has doubts? Lord Brahma is the first person within the universe. After Vishnu, of course. Lord Vishnu creates the universe as the Mahavishnu. Then Lord Vishnu enters into each and every universe as the Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And then Lord Vishnu enters into everyone's heart as the what? Does anyone know? Shiradakshay Vishnu. So the Garbhadakshay Vishnu lies down in the Garbhadak ocean. In each and every universe, there's unlimited universes. And from his navel comes a lotus flower. And that lotus flower has Lord Brahma on it. And Lord Brahma, when Lord Brahma appeared, he's the first of all the demigods. He's the chief of all the demigods. When he appeared, he didn't know what to do because he was all alone. Just like you hear, even in the Western scripture, it talks about the beginning, everything was dark. And God said, let there be light. So everything was dark and he didn't know what to do. And he tried to figure it out himself by diving down into the stem of the lotus flower. And then he heard two words. Does anyone know what those words were? Ta and pa. Ta pa. Does anyone know what that means? It means austerity. So then he sat down and meditated for many, many thousands of years, actually billions of years of our time. And then Krishna came and shook his hand. Pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, just like you shake hands or high five. Krishna didn't do high five. Krishna shook Brahma's hand, and then Krishna showed him everything. The material world, the spiritual world, his nature, his pastimes in the spiritual world, what was the soul, who the demigods were. And therefore, Lord Brahma wrote this poem, which I just read. And that particular poem states that in maintenance, creation, and destruction, Durga acts in this material world. And she is considered to be Chayeva. Chayeva means a shadow. You understand? Chaya. Chaya means shadow in Sanskrit. So she's a shadow of the internal potency, Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga. So Bhuvanani means the material world, Vibharti means she maintains, and her name is Durga. And the name Durga means to move with great difficulty, because that's the nature of this material world. It's a prison house. Just like in Fiji, you have prisons. You have one here in Sabah?
No.
No. Labasa has a prison. No criminals. Sabu Sabu is a great No criminals. Suva, there's so many criminals. They even broke into our temple in Suva, into the treasury. Yeah. So, just like there's a prison house, and who do you put into the prison house? The criminals. So Krishna has a prison house too. Guess where that is? Here! We are in the prison now. And we are chained up by what's called the three gunas, the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And just like a puppet, you know what puppets are here? What do you call it in Hindi? Puppet?
Kaputli.
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 Kaputli. Kaputli. Oh, Kaputli. All right, so anyway, so you have these puppets that are controlled by strings, right? You've seen that? In India, it's very common that they go to the villages and do the Ramayana performances with the puppets. They do that here too? No. No. It's a very nice thing in India. There's traveling people who do that. So the puppets, they're controlled by the strings. So if someone on top pulls the hand, guess what? The hand goes up. And they lets the string down, the hand goes down. And so that's because the person is controlling. So in the same way, Maya is there using the three modes of material nature. Who knows what the three modes of material nature are? What are they? Sattva, Sattva, Raja, and Tama. And she's controlling us, and she's telling us, all right, bow down, watch a Bollywood movie. Yes, ma'am. Go to the soccer game. Yes. Yes. We are very obedient. It's like sometimes here in Fiji, I see the prisoners, they make them work in the sugarcane fields, right? So Maya's making us work in the material sugarcane fields, all of us. We're all basically like that. So that's Durga's position. So the word Durga means to move with great difficulty. But she is a pure devotee. She's also known as Vaishnavi, because that's her service. Just like the person in charge of the prison, he works for the government, right? What do you call that? We call it warden. What do you call it? Superintendent. Okay, superintendent of prisons. He works for the government. So Durga works for Krishna's government. And her business is to basically make us miserable. Why? So that we will understand that our real place, so we will look for Krishna. We will understand our real place is not to be in this world. Our real place is in the spiritual world. That's why we have birth, death, disease, and old age. Isn't it? I mean, who? Does anyone here want to get old? The children sometimes do. But after you pass 40 or 50, you definitely don't want it anymore. It's misery. I tell you that. Bali, it's misery. And that's what we get in this material world. So, therefore, these arrangements are there to teach us, because we are spirit souls, we are full of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, to teach us our real place is not here. And then after a while, after being tortured enough in this world, we say, Krishna, or we say God, whatever, different religions, save me! And then Krishna sends the guru. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets guru, and by the mercy of guru, one gets Krishna. They work together. So no one gets a guru unless Krishna sends him. Like as soon as you cry out, God save me, you'll hear a knocking on the door. Who's that? I'm your guru. I come to save you. So, nothing happens by accident. So anyway, so, Ichana Rupa Abit Yasha Cheshtate Sa. That means she works under the order of who? Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, under the order of Krishna, to carry out Krishna's service here. So, then sometimes the question arises, because I know, at least in India, when they have Durga Puja, they eat meat. And they kill goats, right? In India, Durga Puja. Not Navaratri, but Durga Puja. They eat meat and they kill goats and they get drunk, right? And they even offer meat to Durga sometimes. Yeah. Terrible, isn't it? Yeah. They do that in India?
Yeah.
He's from India. He's a bona fide person. The rest of you are just not bona fide. So the question is, does Durga eat meat? Does she do any of these things? And so that answer is told in a very interesting story in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's the story of Jatabharata. So once upon a time, the story starts, as all stories start. Once upon a time, there was a great king, an incarnation of Krishna named Rishabhadev. And Rishabhadev had 100 sons. So not only a great king, but a great father too. He had 100 sons, and the oldest son was named Bharata, who the Bharata Varsha was named after. You know, India was named after Bharat Maharaj. So he took over the kingdom. And after he took over the kingdom, and he was ruling the kingdom for a while, he decided, I just want to renounce everything and become a great pure devotee of Krishna. All right. So he did that. He gave up the kingdom, turned it over to his son, because that was responsible. And then he went to this place, Pulaha Ashram, where the great sage Pulaha was, and he began to meditate on Krishna. So he was meditating on Krishna, feeling great ecstasy. Then one day something happened. There was a female deer that's called Doe, D-O-E. A female deer, and she was pregnant. And then there was a lion. We say mriga. That lion. In Sanskrit, it's mriga. So there was a lion chasing after the female deer, and she jumped across the river, and she gave birth to the child. The child was floating, the deer baby, was floating down the river, and she died. And so that was right in front of Bharat Maharaj. And he was meditating, chanting in his rounds, Hare Krishna, like that. And then he saw the deer and he said, I have to save the deer. So he saved the deer, brought the deer back to his ashram, and then he became gradually more and more attached to the deer. Nice story. At least he wasn't attached to a dog like many people are. Sometimes I have disciples, I have dogs, and I said, you know who you're going to be in your next life? Because Krishna says in the Gita, yam yam vabhi smaran bhavam yajateyante kalevaram. Whatever you think of at the time of death, that's what you become in your next life. So if you're thinking of a dog, guess what? Bow wow. So it's better not to think of a dog. Better think of Krishna. And if you think of your wife at the time of death, guess what? You become a lady. And if your wife is thinking of you, guess what? She becomes a man. And you get married, but you switch positions. Isn't that nice? So you meet your wife in the next life. Oh, you're a man now. You sure look different. She says, you sure look different too. Because you will have a high voice then. So whatever you think of, so Bharat Maharaj, he got very, very attached to this deer, and in fact he was even kissing the deer. People do that with their pets sometimes, don't they? My brother, he had a dog and he was kissing his dog. Then he got a pet rat and he was kissing the rat. And what was the poor rat thinking? Is its big lips? Because people in America, they always have pets. I mean, that's the thing. So anyway, so he was kissing, and then even when the deer would walk and leave footprints, he would worship the footprints of the deer. And he would say that the earth is so fortunate to have these footprints of my baby deer. That's called Maya. Don't think it could happen to anyone like that. Because Krishna the Gita says, Jayato Vishatpumso Sangostesha Vajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kama Guru Vajayate. That if you look at something enough, you get attached to it. And the more you contemplate it, the more attached you get. So he was very attached to the deer. And one day the deer didn't show up and he was feeling separation like we feel from Krishna, Jugayitam Nimishena, Chakshusha Pravishaitam. So you say, oh my dear, feeling separation from you, I'm considering a moment like 12 years or more. So he didn't know where the deer went, and then he went looking for the deer and he fell, I guess he fell off a cliff or something, and he died. So in his next life, he took birth as a deer. But Krishna was very kind because he was a devotee. So that happens sometimes because you're a devotee. If you mess up in this life, you may remember your past life. That's very interesting. So he remembered he was a deer, and he remembered that he was Jodh Bart in his last life. So he was very unhappy as a deer. And so he immediately left his mother deer and went to the same ashram and stayed in the ashram his whole life and eventually left his deer body. And in his next life, he took birth in a Brahmin's family. And his father was a very good Brahmin. He had two wives. One wife he had nine children by. The other one he had twins, a boy and a girl. And he was one of the twins. He was born from the younger wife. And so he was thinking that basically I don't want to fall into Maya again. So I'm going to make believe I'm stupid. Or challenged, as the teachers say, you know, intellectually challenged. There's this new language, you can't tell anyone they're stupid anymore. He's having challenges in his education. So he made believe he was stupid. So, and when his father tried to teach him to say the Gayatri Mantra, I mean, he just couldn't figure out how to do it, or made believe he didn't do it. And when his father tried to teach him to clean himself before going to the toilet and after, he couldn't figure out, he didn't do that either. And he was dirty all the time. And his father died feeling very frustrated that I tried my best to teach my son to be a Brahmin, but he wasn't able to learn. So as soon as his father died, his older brothers took advantage of him. They thought, you know, he's just stupid. So they abused him, and what they did is they even one time put him out in the fields to keep the birds away. That's called a scarecrow. You ever heard of that before? Yeah. Scarecrow. They put him out there in the fields, and what happened is that there were some dacoits there who found him in the field. The dacoits, normally they would offer a human being to Bhadrakali. That was their business. That's how they became very strong. It's called Tantra. You've heard of Tantra before? Some of you may have heard of Tantra. The word Tantra basically means to connect one. It's not a bad word. But there's left-handed Tantra and right-handed Tantra. We do right-handed Tantra, which means four regulated principles, 16 rounds. We serve Krishna. We worship the deities. That's Tantra. Like the Narada Pancharatra is a tantric literature for devotees. But then there's left-handed tantra. And in left-handed tantra, they actually have regulated principles too. They have five regulated principles. You want to know what they are? You're interested? No. One of them is called mudra. That means they make an obscene gesture. It's part. Another one... They're called the Panchamakara. The five M's. Mudra, Matsya. What does that mean? What's Matsya mean? Fish. so that you have to eat fish. That's a regulated principle. Just like we have no meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. So they have obscene gestures, mudra, matcha, fish, madan, does anyone know what that is? Intoxication. They have to take kava. It's part of their regulated principles. And they take worse things, too. I mean, obviously. They smoke ganja, they drink liquor and everything like that. And then also mamsa. Does anyone know what mamsa is?
Meat.
They eat meat. And the final one is maitunya. That means they have illicit sex. So they have these five regulated principles. If you want to be a tantric, you have to follow all five. And they get power by doing that. They have power, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our great acharyas, had to arrest one of these tantrics once. His name was Vivekashena, and he was making believe that he was God. Nowadays, you have a lot of people in India who make believe they're God, right? Prabhupada says practically every week another god is made in India. And they have some tantric power. So this particular person, he kept all of his tantric powers in his hair. That's why we shave our head. So we get rid of all the tantric powers that we had. Except for the Sika. Sika so Krishna can take us back to Godhead. Not really. Because many of us don't have seekers because we get bald. And the women would be better off going back to Godhead than the rest of us because they have more hair. If you try to pick me up by my seeker, it'll break off. So Vivekashena, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, had to arrest him because he was dancing with girls in the middle of the night. Not only dancing, but having illicit life with girls in the middle of the night, calling himself Vishnu or Krishna. And he was arrested by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is what I mean by tantric. So sometimes people perform these tantric. One thing they do is they eat out of a skull. That's a tantric ritual. They take a human skull, and that's their prasadam dish. Terrible, isn't it? And they get this. You've seen that in India? You must have seen that.
Yeah.
You see that? Because anyone who lives in India has seen this all the time. And they curse you and everything. It's like the witch doctors you have here in Fiji, but they don't do anything. They're useless. The only thing the witch doctors in Fiji do is take your money. They don't have any of these powers. You know, sometimes I hear the devotees tell me I'm being cursed by a witch doctor. I said, don't worry about it. Just bribe him. So anyway, the tantrics, these dacoits who they kidnapped Jatabharata because they thought we're going to offer him to the goddess Bhadrakali. Okay, so they did their mantras. They also bathed Jatabharata because that's what you're supposed to do before you offer an animal to any of the demigods. You're supposed to bathe it first and give it something nice to eat. So if you try that next time, right? Next time you offer a goat. Of course, the injunction is about offering goats and things like that. The Vedic injunction says once a month you do it on a full moon day and you say mamsa kadati, which means in the next life you'll get a chance to eat meat. So what that does is it discourages people eventually. The injunctions that allow meat eating in the Vedic literature are meant to restrict it, not to encourage meat eating. Just like the government may license a liquor store, right? To restrict it, not to encourage it. Because if you try to restrict it 100%, people will still do it. Because people are very low class. In general, people in Kali Yuga, Kaloshudra, Sambhava, are very low class. Just like in America, they tried to restrict everybody from drinking liquor during the 1920s. And then people started to make their own liquor in their bathrooms. They do that in India, too.
Yeah.
It's called the still. You've seen that? You've seen it.
Yeah.
He's seen everything. And sometimes they make the wrong type of alcohol and they die. because they don't know how to make the right type of amma. It's all wrong, but anyway. So, so they took Jad Bharat, because we're telling the story about Durga. That's the whole purpose of this story. So they took Jad Bharat and bathed him, got ready to offer him before the goddess Kali, took a sword to cut his head off, and then all of a sudden, the deity cracked open and Kali came out. And what did she do? And all of her friends, associates, came out too. And they began to cut all the thieves' heads off too. Not only did they cut their heads off, but of course Kali didn't do this. She just watched her associates do this. They would drink the blood, you know, when you cut the head off. They would take the person's body and tip it over, just like you tip a cup over to drink. And they were drinking the blood. These are her associates. But Kali did not do that. Kali is like, she is a consort of Shiva. And Lord Shiva doesn't eat meat either. He's very austere. He's a great Vaishnava. But he takes care of lower class people because he's so merciful. Lord Shiva's ashram is filled with ghosts, goblins, witches. It'd be a nice temple, wouldn't it? You think if you had a temple filled with witches and goblins and ghosts? Frightening. But Lord Shiva is so merciful. That's Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. That he does that. And Kali is so merciful too. She's Durga, she's our mother. She's the material energy. So we appreciate very much like this. So that's the story of Jadabharata, which is a very, very interesting story. It proves the point that Kali punishes the miscreants, punishes the sinful people, and protects the devotees because she's a devotee. And there's another very interesting story I wanted to tell about Durga too. And this is a famous story I think most of you have heard. It's the Daksha story. Daksha, there's a personality named Daksha. The word Daksha means very expert. And his business is to have a lot of children. He's what we call a prajapati. So, Daksha first had 10,000 boys. Just one time. With one wife. Pretty good, isn't it? 10,000. But then, Narada Muni came and spoiled all the fun. Because he had all these children. He thought, let me enjoy the children, you know. One gets married, you enjoy the little children, then after a while the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, your whole life becomes like that. It never ends. No matter how old you get, there will always be little babies to take care of. So children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren. So he was thinking, let me enjoy. And then what happened is Narada Muni convinced them all to take sannyas. That was pretty good of him. And he got really upset, but he thought, well, I can have another group of sons. So he had 1,000 more sons. And Narada Muni did the same thing. So at that point, he cursed Narada Muni. He said, you better watch out. You can't remain in one place for very long. And he thought that was the most severe curse. Then he decided, I'm just going to have daughters from now on. So, one of his daughters was named Sati. And he didn't want to marry her to Lord Shiva. He didn't. He was just thinking, this Lord Shiva, he's always covered with ashes. And it's true. He's in the crematorium. Because he's so merciful. Have you mentioned before? He's so merciful. That's why. He's preaching to the lowest class of person. A person can be understood as merciful when he preaches to the lowest class of people. If he just preached to people already devotees, what's the use? And so Srila Prabhupada is known as merciful because he came to the Western world and preached to the lowest class of malechas, yavanas, and people like that. I mean, Prabhupada in the beginning was living with people who were taking drugs. And Prabhupada was attacked by someone who was taking drugs. So, so he didn't want to marry his daughter to Lord Shiva, but Lord Brahma, his father, came along and said, "My dear son, you get this daughter, Sati, married to Lord Shiva." And he said, "Oh, okay, I'll do it." But he was very unhappy about that. Of course, Sati, she's eternally Lord Shiva's wife. Sometimes she appears in this incarnation or that incarnation, which we'll describe in a second. But she's eternally related to Lord Shiva. You can't separate. It's like Radha and Krishna. Just like in Vrindavan, Radharani appeared and Krishna appeared. They appeared to be born and they appeared to meet. But actually, they're eternally connected. But these are pastimes of the Lord. So, anyway, so he got his daughter married to Lord Shiva. Then what happened is that once upon a time, he was doing a sacrifice because he was a ritualistic Brahmin. Ritualistic Brahmana means you don't really understand anything, but you do all the rituals perfectly. You see this all the time. Just like you have these different ceremonies here. Pitapaksh and Devapaksh, all those nice ceremonies. And you call for the Brahmana. "My dear Brahmana, please come." And the Brahmana puts down his cigarette before he walks in. Actually, I saw that. I was at someone's funeral here in Fiji. And the Brahmana, he was very nice doing the ceremony. And then the head of all the Brahmanas was smoking a cigarette outside. And I said, "What kind of Brahmana are you?" I didn't say that. I said, "Brahman means, you know, samadhamat tapaksha chamshart. Someone who's peaceful, self-composed. That's a Brahman, not a ritualistic Brahman." But Daksha was a ritualistic Brahman, as well as a Prajapati. And so he was performing this sacrifice, and he came into the sacrifice one time, and basically because he was such a high position, the demigods, they stood up, offer their obeisances. Lord Brahma didn't stand up because Lord Brahma is actually his father. But he offered him blessings. But Lord Shiva, he was deep in meditation. He was very, very deep in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so he didn't stand up. And Daksha got really angry. And he said, "This person who's known as Shiva," because the Shiva means auspicious, "he's not actually auspicious." And so he left the assembly. He blasphemed Lord Shiva. And after he left, Lord Shiva's associates, such as Nandishra, you know Nandishra? Lord Shiva's associate cursed all the Brahmins present that they would just be ritualistic. And we see this in Kali Yuga. That the Brahmin is a ritualistic, no understanding of anything transcendental in general. There are exceptions. I'm not saying everybody. But there are exceptions. So the Brahmin is genuinely just interested in rituals and collecting money. You know, Pitapaksha means business time for them. Right? Business time. And anyway, I have one disciple who's a Brahmin. He's so busy. I won't mention his name. But here in Fiji, so busy. One time I came during Pitapaksha and he couldn't see me, you know. Came all the way to Fiji and he said, "Where is he?" "He's doing ceremonies." Couldn't see his guru. So anyway, ritualistic Brahmanas are like that. So Nandishwara cursed the Brahmanas to be devoid of all knowledge. And then he cursed Daksha. He said, "Because you have offended Lord Shiva, you will in the future have a face of a goat." So when there's curses, they work on the heavenly planets, not here. The curses don't work here, don't worry about it. Especially if you chant Hare Krishna, the curses have no effect on you. You don't have to worry about someone cursing you. You just go, Hare Krishna, that's all right. And all the curses are finished. So then Vriga Muni, he cursed the followers of Lord Shiva. He said, Vriga Muni was the head of all the Munis there, all the sages. He cursed the followers of Lord Shiva. He said, "You will all be low class, have long hair, and do all sorts of horrible things, and beards and long hair." And Prabhupada said, in the Bhagavatam, he said, like hippies. Mm-hmm. Like many, you don't know what hippies are anyway. But if they were people in the 1960s who had long hair, beards, and smoked ganja. That's what a hippie is. So, anyway, so then Lord Shiva left. He felt very bad that everybody was cursing each other and counter-cursing. And Daksha, he became prouder and prouder and prouder at that point. And he was appointed head of all the Prajapatis. And so everybody was thinking, this is so nice, he's the head of all the Prajapatis. And he decided to hold a new sacrifice, another sacrifice. And in this sacrifice, he invited all the demigods except for Lord Shiva. And so all the demigods came along with their wives. And they were all dressed up like the ladies. They like to dress very nicely during ceremonies, right? Just like you have this priti bhoj. You heard of that before? No, they know what it is. That's before the wedding. The day before the wedding, they had the priti bhoj, where all the women show off their latest clothes. One time I walked by one and I was shocked. It was like a fashion show. Instead of looking at the deities, they were looking at each other. So anyway, so all the ladies were going to the ceremony, but they didn't invite Shiva, and they didn't invite Sati. And remember, the ceremony was being conducted by Daksha, who was Sati's father. So Sati was feeling really, really bad about this. And she said to Lord Shiva, please give me permission to go. And Lord Shiva says, it's not a good idea, because you're going to find that I'm insulted there. Lord Shiva will be insulted. And therefore, you shouldn't go. But then she got so disturbed, thinking, I want to see my relatives, I want to go with my jewelry. Of course, the jewelry she had, Prabhupada says, was not given by Lord Shiva. It was given by her father, because Lord Shiva doesn't keep any jewelry. Lord Shiva is very austere. But she is most chaste to Lord Shiva. So she went there. Actually, she went there with all of Lord Shiva's followers, Nandishra and others. They accompanied her to this big ceremony. And she wasn't welcomed by her father or any of the other people there. And she got really angry because Lord Shiva was insulted in that assembly. And she said to her father, because I have accepted this body from you, it's an impure body. And I'm going to give it up. Because it's described when someone blasphemes, you should be ready to either leave the place, give up your body, or defeat them. Because blasphemy is the most painful thing. A devotee normally does not get angry. But when Krishna or his devotee is offended, then we get angry. That's the one time a devotee is allowed to get angry. Like Srila Prabhupada would sometimes get angry at Mayavadis. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the same way. They would get angry at the impersonalists and Mayavadis. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would walk up to the impersonalists who think that everything is one. He would say, hey, you're wearing a shirt. Why don't you just wear a piece of cotton? It's all one. And then sometimes he'd pick them up by their shirt like this. And they got really upset. That's why he was called Nishina Guru. Because they were scared of him. So, anyway, so she got very angry at her father. And she said, I'm going to give up this body. And using her mystic power, she gave up the body. And left this world. Of course, there's more to the story later on. Then Lord Shiva's followers got very, very angry. We're going to destroy everybody here. Kill all the brahmanas. And then you have Bhriga Muni, the sage in charge of all the brahmanas, ritualistic brahmanas. He threw some offering into the fire and created these demigods called the Ribhu demigods. Thousands of them who came out and attacked Lord Shiva's followers. And Lord Shiva's followers had to run away. So they all ran back to Lord Shiva, explaining what had happened, how his wife had been immolated, had been burnt, and how the followers had been defeated, and Lord Shiva got so angry because he's Ashutosh. Everybody knows what Ashutosh means? No. What does it mean? Easily angered, easily pleased. Ashutosh, easily angered, easily pleased. So you got to be careful. Yeah, I know. You got to be very careful on Ashutosh. You should worship him. So anyway, so easily angered, easily pleased. And so he got so angry, he pulled out a hair from his head, threw it down on the ground, and this big demon came out. His name was Virabhadra. He came out. And he said, and this demon is the personified anger of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pretty good. And so he said, my dear master, what do you want? And Lord Shiva said, go there and kill Daksha. So he, along with all of Lord Shiva's associates, went to this ceremony, and they created havoc. In other words, they destroyed the whole ceremony. And they did so many things, like they went to Brigamuni, and this Virabhadra ripped his mustache off. That's painful. And then he went to this Pusha, one of the demigods, who was showing his, he's making his eyes, you know, like that. And he poked his eyes out. So we did all these things to all these different personalities. And then he went to Daksha. He thought, I'm going to take Daksha's head off. And he was using his nails, and he couldn't remove Daksha's head. Finally, he went to this device they use at these sacrifices. It's called the guillotine. Does anyone know what that is? It's like a knife that comes down and cuts off the head of a sacrificial animal. It's called the guillotine. That's a French word. And so he put Daksha in there, and he cut Daksha's head off. And so the whole sacrifice was basically completely destroyed. And the demigods and the other brahmanas approached Lord Brahma, and they said to Lord Brahma, please save us. Pahimam, Pahimam, Rakshamam, protect us. And Lord Brahma said, you made a big mistake by offending Lord Shiva. So you should go to him and apologize. So they all went in a group to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva at that point was peaceful. He was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mount Kailas. And they begged forgiveness, and Lord Shiva agreed to give back the life to the people who were killed and to replace the parts of the body. So eventually he went there, and he gave Brigamuni back. He gave him the mustache of a goat. Pretty good. And then he gave Daksha the head of a goat, because Daksha's head had already been burnt. Because Virabhadra, when he chopped off the head of the Daksha, he threw the head into the fire as an offering. Swaha. Head swaha. And then, so Daksha had to continue the sacrifice with the head of a goat. That also proves we're not the body. If you can still do the same things and remember everything and have a goat head, that means you're not the body. So Daksha continued the sacrifice, and then as far as Sati was concerned, she took birth again as the daughter of the Himalayan king. And she is known as what? Himavati. Parvati and also Himavati. There's two names, Parvati and Himavati. So that's a very nice story about Durga. One or two more stories we'll tell about her to glorify her. These are all Krishna conscious stories. She also killed a demon known Mahisura. You know that story? Who took the form of a buffalo demon. And that's what, actually, she has a name that relates to that. And then finally, just to prove the point that she is a great Vaishnava, just to prove the point, we'll tell the story of how she got initiated in chanting Hare Krishna, as she chants rounds every day. So once upon a time, there was a great devotee, about 500 years ago, a great devotee of the Lord known as Haridas Thakur. You've heard of him before? He's the Namacharya, the teacher of the holy names. He was actually born in a Muslim family. But still, he was considered the topmost devotee. If one is chanting Hare Krishna, then even though he may be born in a family swapacha of dog eaters, he's considered to be a Brahmin if he's absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And so Haridas Thakur was always absorbed in Krishna's names. He would chant so many names, 192 names a day. 192 rounds, sorry. 192 rounds, that means basically 3 lakhs. You know what a lakh is?
Yeah.
He knows because he's from India. lakh is a Hindi word for 100,000. In case you don't know. It's 100. He would chant 300,000 names of Krishna a day, spend 23 hours chanting. And we have devotees who have trouble chanting 16 rounds. Say, 16 rounds is too much. I got too many things to do. I have to eat. I have to watch television. I have to do so many things. 16 rounds is nothing. Doesn't take any time. And even today, without trying, how many rounds did I chant today? I chant, even without trying to chant more rounds, is it 8? I chanted 28 rounds. That's even without trying. Even doing everything I normally do. You know, which is doing my emails and everything like that. So he would chant 192 rounds a day. And what happened is that Durga Devi wanted to test him. Because she tests us. Like if someone is very advanced, she gives us a bigger test. And so she tested Haridas Thakur, where he was chanting in a cave on a moonlit night. And she appeared before him in the most beautiful form. And Durga Devi is all the beauty in this world. If you can think of all the beautiful people, all the beautiful mountains, just like here in Savu Savu, where we're staying, it's very beautiful. You look out and you see the sea. So you put it all into one... Whoops, see? You put it all into one person, and that's Durga Devi. So she appeared before Haridas Thakur and said, Haridas Thakur, you're so young and handsome. Oh, I love you. I'm not so good at doing that. But anyway, so she was trying to test him. It's like Maya sends many tests to us too, to everybody. Everybody gets tests. We're in school. So when you graduate from school, this school, you go back to Godhead. And if you don't pass the test, you stay here. And you got to take the test again and again and again. It's not like we were hearing about some of the schooling here up to the sixth grade. They still pass you. Even if you're an idiot, they still pass you. But in Maya's kingdom, she doesn't pass you unless you pass the test. So anyway, so she was testing Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur basically said to her, just wait, when I finish my rounds, then we can enjoy. And so this happened for 3 nights. And he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then even Durga Devi became so attracted to the chanting of Hare Krishna, because previously she had been initiated in the chanting of Ram Nam. So Ram Nam and Hare Krishna are non-different. When we chant Hare Krishna, there's Krishna, and then Hare Ram, that's Ram, also Balaram, also Radha Ramana Hari, all those different things. And Hare refers to like Sita, Radharani, the internal energy of the Lord. It's the vocative form, calling out, oh Radharani, oh energy of the Lord. So anyway, so she heard the chanting, and then she became so attracted to the chanting of Hare Krishna, she revealed to Haridas Thakur who she was. She revealed to Haridas Thakur who she was. And then said, please give me initiation. And so she took initiation in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And in this way, she became a Gaudiya Vaishnavi. Nice, isn't it? So anyway, so I have a lot more stories, but I'm not going to... Oh, just one other thing I wanted to say is sometimes on these occasions you do puja, right? Puja? Right? So that means business exchange. One mantra they do in India when they're worshipping Durga is very interesting. I wanted to read it. It's a very interesting mantra. You may know this mantra. Dhanam dehi rupam dehi rupavati baryam dehi yasho dehi. You ever heard that mantra before? You've heard it. That means, give me wealth, give me a beautiful wife, give me fame. So that's business. That's not bhakti. Bhakti means that one worships whoever you're worshiping out of love. And that's what we're interested in. So if you're interested in worshiping Durga, you worship her as a devotee out of love and you give her prasadam. Just like in Bhuvaneshwara, where Lord Shiva lives with Durga, guess what they do? They take the remnants of Lord Jagannath and every day they put it in a car and bring it to Lord Shiva and Durga. And that pleases Durga, because she's a Vaishnavi. If you really want to please Durga, that's how you do it. And then just one final story, because so many stories are coming to my mind while we're talking about Durga. One final story is from the Chaitanya Mangal. That once upon a time, Narada Muni was serving Lakshmi, and he wanted Mahaprasadam from Lord Vishnu, you know, the remnants. And finally, Lakshmi gave him some. There's a whole story about that. She didn't want to, but finally she gave him some. And he ate it and started dancing. And Lord Shiva, his brother, said to him, "Why are you dancing?" And he said, "I've gotten Mahaprasadam." And then what happened is that Lord Shiva said, "Didn't you save any for me?" And Narada Muni said, "No, I'm sorry." And they looked under Narada Muni's fingernail. There was a little bit of Mahaprasadam. Lord Shiva took it, started dancing, and the whole universe was starting to shake. Because when Lord Shiva dances, that's a ton of inertia. You know, then it can be the destruction of the whole universe. So he was dancing. And then Durga comes and says, "Why are you dancing? Stop, because you're destroying the whole universe." And he says, "Why did you interfere with my dancing?" She says, "Why are you dancing?" And he says, "I got some Mahaprasadam." And she says, "Did you save any for me?" And he says, "No, you're Maya. You're the Lord's illusory energy. You know, you don't get any Mahaprasadam." So she got really angry at Lord Shiva at that point and said, "I'm going to prove that I deserve Mahaprasadam. I'm a devotee." So she began to worship Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu appeared, and then he said to her, "What do we want? What do you want, my dear devotee?" She says, "I want Mahaprasadam. And not only that, I want to distribute it to all my children." That's all of us. And that's how she got this other name, Annapurna. You've heard that before? It means full of grains. Annapurna. So at that point, that's why we have Mahaprasadam in Jagannath Puri, and that's distributed to everybody. So she is so merciful to us. She is our mother. And if we want to please her, we'll please her by being Krishna conscious, not by offering goats or anything like that. That doesn't please her. By offering prasad to her and Lord Shiva. And in this way, we can actually appreciate Durga. The more we chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare," the more Durga Devi becomes pleased with us. So that is our method. Not to worship independently, as Krishna says in the Gita, "Aviti Purvakam," or "Kamaistaishta Vityana Prabhajante Nudevita." Because puja, without bhakti, that is simply a business exchange. I'm doing this for you because I want money, I want a beautiful wife, I want fame, isn't it? That mantra? You've heard that mantra before? You should chant it all the time. You already have a nice wife. You don't need it. So anyway, so that's some stories and some philosophy about Durga Devi, and this is Navaratri, so we We actually respect her by being in Krishna consciousness during these 9 days. We don't give it up. Like sometimes people say during Devapaksha or Pitapaksha, you stop worshiping Krishna. You worship Krishna more. You want to serve your forefathers? Worship Krishna more. Because by becoming Krishna conscious, 10 generations of your forefathers become liberated. You can't do that through some ordinary ritual like Pindam. You can do it by serving Krishna. So by serving Krishna, everyone becomes satisfied, just like by watering the root of the tree, all the leaves get watered. So all the demigods become happy when you serve Krishna. Very simple. Okay. Any questions or comments? I think we spoke long enough. No questions, comments, arguments?
Nice katha regarding Durga Devi.
Durga Devi.
There are a lot of people are misleading about Durga Devi. Like you said, offering goats and so forth. Actually, that thing is happening also in Fiji. Some people are doing it.
Yes.
Probably maybe they are ignorant. They don't know the reality of Durga.
Yeah, they should find out what she wants, not what they want to do. The point is, they're using Durga to try to get what they want. But if we want to please, we love someone, and we should certainly love Durga, then we should do what she wants. We should do what Lord Shiva wants. But nobody thinks to ask them. They were putting the deities on the altar, and they're asking the deities for things. Then it's like going into the supermarket. They have a supermarket, or a mall, a supermarket of TVs, you know. Isn't it? It's like, you get what you want. It's like that story when we were young, Aladdin's lamp. You know the story? You don't know the story? That's a story that someone rubbed a lamp and the genie came out. You got that story? In India, you don't know the story. But they know the story. they rubbed the lamp and a demigod came out. He said, what do you want? Whatever I want, whatever you want, I'll get you. So that's what we do. We want to rub the deities. And whatever, the deity to come out, you know, Lord Shiva said, but Lord Shiva's not going to give you whatever you want. You think he's foolish? Like Durga, if you just worship her in the wrong way, she'll give you what you don't want. Adi Atmik, Adi Bodhik, and Adi Daivik Miseries. She's seated on a tigress. 10 arms. 10 different directions. And she has a trident. You know what trident is? Trishira. And she's given you miseries from your body and mind, miseries from other living entities, and miseries from the material nature. And she's expert at it. So we worship her as a devotee. That's wonderful. I love her. I love Ganesh. I love Kartikeya, her sons. I love Lord Shiva. All of them. And I know what pleases them. Krishna consciousness. Like Ganesh, he keeps Krishna's lotus feet on his tumuli, right? That's what they like. So give someone what they like. Not what... You think Durga likes meat? No. About wine? What is she going to do with wine? She's a devotee. Isn't it? Just like if you say, Maharaj, here's some wine for you. What do I do with it? Stupid, isn't it? So before I cook, just like people cook for me, they offer me what I like to eat. Not what they like to eat. You imagine I go to someone's house one time, and everybody knows I don't eat spices or things, or I don't eat fried foods or salt or sugar. And so imagine someone puts a whole plate of ice cream in front of me. I mean, they like it, but I don't, because it's not good for my health. So if you want to serve someone, you ask them first what they want, right? Not what you want. Krishna, today I'm going to offer you what I really want to eat. It's bogus. Rascals. So I guess we should end now, because you have RT and it's getting late. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Vandana.